So this morning we're starting a new series. No, actually, we started a new series last Sunday. Before then, we were looking at a series that we spent probably about 10 weeks looking at, which was your new life in Christ. But this morning, but last week, we started on our relationship series. So last week we did the introduction, and today we're starting with the first section. Now, with this series, we're going to be looking at a number of things. We'll look at premarital relationships. We're starting that today, and we'll look at that next week as well. Then after that, we'll look at marriage. Then after that, we'll look at the husband, the wife, and we'll look at kids and all that as well. So what came to my heart was that the way we'll do this is I'll give like an introduction, and I'll take a number of questions. So these are questions that I've been asked personally, and I've answered. These are questions that maybe are in the minds of people as well. So we're just going to look at this in that format. But the thing that I want to do with this relationship series is, now, I don't want it to be, all right, the Bible says this, don't do this, do that, so that it becomes a form of like, if you do this, you're bad, if you don't do this, you're good, or, do you get what I mean? I don't want us to look at it from that perspective. What I want us to do, and what I pray to achieve, is to look at the reasons why the Bible says we should go in a particular direction as it relates to relationships. So that's what I'm going to be trying to do. And I pray that God will help us to understand. I mean, in terms of relationships, there's so many things in my brain that I've seen, that I've heard our senior pastor teach, that I've experienced, that I've walked people through as well. And so when I'm speaking, even though I look like I'm a young guy, it's so interesting that I've come across situations that if I told you, you would just be so, you'd be baffled. But God has a way for us. And that's what we want to look at this morning and as we go through this series. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, your word says that your word is spirit and is life, and that the letter kills. Father, we do not want to see the letter of your word this morning, although we appreciate it. We want to see the spirit in your word so that we can apply these things to our lives, and that you give us understanding so it makes sense with regards to why you have asked that we should do and enter into relationships this way. In Jesus' name. All right. So we're starting today with the premarital relationship one. And what I've called it is 10 questions about premarital relationships. And I think when we got in this morning, there was a young man, I'm not going to point him out, and he whispered in the ears of another person, what are these 10 questions? Well, we'll try and look at 5 of those questions today. But before I go into the questions, I want just to give us a background with regards to relationships. Now, the first thing I want to mention is this. As it relates to relationships, there's an underlining thing about relationships that really hangs on God. Sometimes when we go into relationships, we think, okay, it's me and this individual, and God is in the background somewhere, but apparently not. Every relationship we go into has what I would call 95% God and you 5%, even though you're not really, really realizing it. And the first thing that God wants us to know as it comes to us as believers is that you and I belong to God. We're not free agents anymore. Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. Not quite sure. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. Okay, so I'll look at verse 19. It says, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received? You are not your own. Verse 19. So God begins to tell us that, look, you're not your own. You belong to God. God cares about you absolutely. So you're not your own. You're not a free agent that you just make choices independently of God, because whatever choices you make in terms of relationships affects God as well. Now, the other thing as well, in terms of the underlining thing about relationships that we get into, apart from the fact that God says that we're not our own, he owns us. We belong to him. We have been purchased with a price. God also wants us to know that, look, that he loves us more than we can ever imagine. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. God says something there. This is the underlining thing about relationships as it relates to God. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. It says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. So God wants us to understand that in the context of relationships, in the context of the choices that we make, they're not independent. The things that affect us in relationships, the things that we go through in relationships, affects God as well. And he says, look, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I said, the kind of love that God has for us is not the one that says, if you do good, I love you. If you do bad, I'm not really concerned about you. So when we're going through difficult situations, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that God is not distant from us. He's not a high priest that doesn't feel our pain. So every pain you go through, God is not like the uncle that says, you know what? Sort yourself out. I've told you times and times again, don't do this, don't do that. Now eat your cake and have it. Or is it make your bed and leave in it? So he's not that uncle that says, sort yourself out. No. Every pain that you go through, God feels it as well. Every joy that you go through, God feels it as well. So God is not distant. Do you understand? In the arena of relationships. Do you understand? So the first thing is that God says we're his and he loves us. Now, this is a really important point and is one of my favorite scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, God says there, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope, to give you hope and a future. So what I'm just saying here is that God is not distant from us as it has to do with our relationships. Now, what does this have to do with relationships? Why am I not just going into the point straight away? I know you guys are waiting. What is the first question? What's the next question? We'll get to that. Just relax. Let's look at what God has to say first. Now, there are four things here about God and us. He says, I have plans to prosper you. What does it mean to be prosperous? It means to flourish, to be successful. Now, every relationship you get into, God wants to ensure that you prosper in that relationship. Number one. The next thing God says here, it says not to harm you. The second thing that God wants for every relationship, he doesn't want you to enter into any relationship. And even if you enter into a relationship, he doesn't want that relationship to harm you. I'll talk about what that means in a moment. So, we're talking about God who cares here. He doesn't want you to be hurt or harmed. He now says, to give you hope. Any relationship you get into, God doesn't want the hopes he has for you, the hopes that you have for yourself, to be crushed. Do you understand? And he also says here, and to give you a future. God has a future for you that you're not aware of. And he's saying, that future that I have for you, I don't want any relationship to jeopardize it. Now, looking at all these things, you now begin to see why God is so concerned about our relationships. So what's the big deal about relationships? I mean, it's not like someone's going to, if someone were preparing to carry out like a Grand Theft Auto scheme or armed robbery, then, you know, someone should be concerned. What's the big deal about relationships? Why is God so concerned about it? I mean, it's normal, isn't it? Well, it is normal. It's normal. But the thing about relationships is this. Every relationship you get into has an effect on you, the individual. And do you know that every relationship you get into or that you experience primarily as a child, as a parent, also affects how you view God? It's like, what's the correlation that the relationship I have affects my relationship with God? Yes, it does. Because there's something about you and I. The Bible says that we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. So he says, every relationship that you get into not only affects you, it also affects how you view God. Because every relationship that you get into takes something from you and puts something in your life as well. Do you understand? So it's serious. I mean, if someone steals and he gets caught, they just slap his hand a bit and that's done. But with relationships, there's something that happens. It's just not physical. It affects your soul. It affects your spirit. It is your soul that communicates with God through your spirit. So if your soul begins to get a bit entangled, if your soul becomes affected, what that will begin to do is that you will begin to have a filtered view of God and a filtered view of future relationships as well. So it's important. So that's just the background. So, like I'm saying, I don't want to just say, okay, the Bible says don't do this, do this, this is how you should do. We all know a lot of things that the Bible says, but I want to put it in context to say why. Why is God so particular? What's the big deal? Why can't God just leave you alone to just, No. It's because he cares about you. So, question number one. I'll take 5 questions today. And what I'll do, I'll ask the question. You don't have to give me an answer. But I know you guys will answer in your mind and you'll be expecting, what's this pastor going to say? And I'll answer from the Bible and try and explain why. So, the first one is this. Someone comes up to you, maybe they're like 13, 14, and they say, Uncle, as a Christian, can I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? A lot of people in my school do. And there's this boy that really likes me. Uncle, what should I do? What's the response? You guys have already answered. Because I know when you were younger, you guys asked the same question. So, what should I do? Can I have a boyfriend and a girlfriend? Well, when one looks at relationships, even as simple as it sounds, you want to see, there's a question that I ask. What is the purpose of this relationship? What is it? So, why do you want a girlfriend? That's a good question. Or why do you want a boyfriend? What is it that is going to differentiate your boyfriend or your girlfriend from your other friends in class? What's going to be the difference? You want to talk? You don't need a boyfriend or a girlfriend to talk. You can talk to them. What do you want to do that is different? Well, so it's saying, what is the purpose of this? Now, if you really dig down, you now realize that the purpose is usually because they want to take it a step further beyond friendship. Yeah. They want to take it a step further, maybe by peer pressure or maybe by adult pressure. So, anyone that says they want a girlfriend or a boyfriend, what they're saying is this. I want to take it a step further than just the normal talk. Do you understand what I mean? So, what does that mean? That means that that individual, depending on how young they are, wants to engage in a sort of relationship that, emotionally speaking, they're not capable of handling it. Do you know why? I'm talking about maybe young people now. There are certain emotions that someone will experience in a relationship like that, that they are not, at that point in their lives, designed to handle because they're too young. Then apart from that, there's the permanency of it. So there's no, I mean, what's the future of it? Nothing. It's just to engage in maybe stuff that is meant for people who are married. So what you now realize that the person enters into that kind of relationship, and more often than not, because it's not leading to marriage, it breaks off. And something in the soul of that individual is torn. That's why they sing all those songs that used to make a lot of money in the 60s about heartbreak. True. That's why they made a lot of millions. Because anyone that is that young, that has gone through that, there's something that they will feel. They can't really explain it. It's not a physical pain. It is a soulish pain. If that thing is not permanent, it breaks the heart of that person. What is heartbreak? The puncturing of a soul of an individual. Do you understand? So what's the answer to this question? Bible tells us that even though something might be popular, it might be something that all our friends are doing, it doesn't mean it's right because of the consequences of it. Do you understand what I mean? So if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, I'm saying this because God has a particular lifestyle for us to live around relationships. And says, look, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this type of relationship that has no destination at all, it's not something that God recommends. It's something that has come from culture. It actually started in the 1930s in America. Then it progressed. By the time it hit the 60s, I mean, they started to use this thing as a marketing brand where they would have, you know, they'll show you these pictures of some teenager and all that. So it's something that came from pop culture. And it has a lot of consequences, emotionally and solely speaking. So what's the answer to that? Mr. Johnny, don't have a girlfriend. Now, the second question is this. Does anyone know what the second question is? So someone comes to me and says, you know what? There's this guy that really loves me. We're not married. There's this girl that really loves me. And we've been going steady for a while now. By the way, going steady is an American phrase from the 80s. And we love each other. And my boyfriend says we should sleep together. We should have sexual relations. I know that it's. I know we're not married and it's kind of like really, but it feels so right. I love this person so much. Do you get what I mean? So how do you respond? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. I'll explain what that means in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. It says, do you not know that warmongers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, so on and so forth, will inherit the kingdom of God. I'll explain all this in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. It says there, food for the stomach for food, God will destroy them both. It says, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Then I'll explain what I mean in a moment. It says, a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. And I'll stop there and I'll explain. So, do you know that any time someone has sexual relations outside of marriage, it seems like there's no big deal. But there is so much that goes on at that point. There is so much. Now, do you guys know that in Ephesians, when Paul wrote, when he started the church in Ephesus, they used to have these pagan temples. There was a temple, a very popular one that was really popular all over the world. It was called the Temple of Diana. And that's the one that Paul preached. And the priests in that temple, they really, you know, turned the town upside down because they felt Paul was trying to just spoil their business. In that temple, part of the worship in that temple was they would have what they called temple prostitutes, both men and women, so that as part of the worship to that god, they would, if you went to that temple, you would have sexual relations with them in that temple as part of the worship. Why? Hang on in a moment. Do you guys know, if anyone here has been a witch before, I'm not talking about Halloween witch, like a proper witch, what happens in witchcraft is this. Anytime they want to invoke Satan, like the heavy ceremony, and they need, like, you know, what do? They do some incantations and all that. And part of the process is having sex outside of marriage at the altar in that place. So as we're in church here now, we're doing praise and worship. For them to invoke the devil, they will do some stuff, and they will have that thing right there. Do you know that in London, what's the time? In London, there's a place. I think it's in the southeast of London. It's a shop. Now, this shop, they sell all sorts of things there. But there's also some things that they sell in this shop. And one of the things they sell in this shop is called a love potion. So that means if there's a girl that wants to get a guy, and, you know, the guy is not really showing her a lot of attention. Now, that woman can go to that shop, and there's this love potion in England, in London, that the person can buy. And one of the things with this love potion thing is that once you can just get that man to sleep with you, and there's some other things that you say, they're hooked. They're hooked. They are hooked. Now, I've seen certain situations where, anyway, what I'm just saying is this. This thing that we think, you know, no big deal, so on and so forth, it is a big deal. So God says, look, he doesn't want us to get into relationships and to do things that will open us up and take our lives in a particular direction that it's not meant to go into. Do you understand? So there's so many things that happen in the context of this. And that's why God is so particular. You know, I'm a guy that I need to understand why. It's not good enough to just tell me, don't do this. I want to understand why. I want to understand why. I remember that in our church in London, this was years and years ago, they were doing, during the holidays, the young people were doing what, like a youth, they call it like a youth revival thing in the southeast of London. And what they would do during the holidays, they would go out into the street, invite a lot of young people into the church, play music, then they would pray and all that. Young people, 13, 14, and all that. And some of those young people would come, and some of them would just manifest demons. If you don't know what that means these chaps have been taken over by spirits, and these spirits just start speaking through them. And there was a girl, young girl, that came as well, 14. And something happened to her as they were praying. Demons started speaking through her. And they prayed over her, and they got the demons out. And do you know how she got the demons? She said that she belonged to a gang. And that before she could enter into that gang, one of the entry criteria was that she had to have sexual relations with the leader of another male gang. But the gang she wanted to enter was for females. And I won't tell you how they do what they do. And that was it. And once she did that, the guy told her, welcome, but as you are now, I have injected demons into you. She didn't really understand what that meant. She didn't really understand what that meant till the effects of it began to happen. So what am I saying that here? What I'm saying here is that there are things that go just beyond like, okay, you see a boy, you see a girl here, and that's the end of it. No, it is slightly more serious and complicated than that. That is why there's some relationships that one gets into, and it just takes such a toll. It drains almost, if that person is so unlucky that they have that relationship with someone who is like a witch or a warlock, which is an extreme situation, it can drain the life out of that person. Do you understand what I mean? Now, so why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because God wants us to understand the complexity, what I'll call behind the scenes complexities. Do you understand? All right, so that's question number two. And I think I'm going to stop here. We'll carry on next time. Now, why am I saying this? Am I saying this to just, you know, scare us? Am I saying this because, like, you know, this church people again, you know, all this, I need to have a good time, so on and so forth. Pastor Benson, all these things that you're saying is just making me feel guilty. There's one boy that likes me down the road and I've been eyeing him too. Are you trying to say that? Yes. I'm trying to say you need to take it easy because these things have consequences. But it's not just ending there. So the question that I get asked sometimes is, so assuming that I've been involved in a relationship that has really taken a toll on me, is that the end? No, it's not. It's not the end as long as we lay these things back to Christ and just say, God, you know what? This is what I've been involved in. I don't know if it's taking a toll on me, so on and so forth. I'm sorry. And God will heal the brokenhearted, the Bible tells us. Every broken heart that you're not even aware that you have, that is embedded in your soul, God will heal it. Do you understand? Every consequence that you're not even aware of, God can touch wherever you are. Why? Jeremiah 29. He wants to bring you and I back all the time to the point where we fulfill the hope he has for us. We fulfill the future that he has for us. Every harm that has been inflicted on our souls, he wants to heal it. Do you understand? So that we can still have the future that he has for us. Amen. I'm just going to ask that we rise this morning and we're just going to pray.